Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, to Insatiable Banalities number 71. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of April. We have a very minimal cast here tonight.
Select.
Elite. Gertrude and Candy Pants are still absent.
Still resolving their matters of the heart.
Something like that. Right. Not exactly sure. But we do have two special guests here who finally turned up. Been trying to track them down for ages. We even booked them in one time and they didn't show up.
What was your excuse?
Laziness, basically.
Tired.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There was martial arts involved.
It's not as good as the guys who got stuck down a cave.
No.
Sweet. Yeah. But anyway, who are they? They are Cam and Rye. Cam who? Cam what?
Cam Ewens.
Cam Ewens and Rye.
James.
And what is Rye your name, or is that a short shortening?
That's my name.
Just as in R-Y-E?
Just
R-Y.
Yeah.
R-Y. Rye Kuda and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah, Rye, of course. Okay, well, welcome. You're two young men, two young Canberrans. Are you a Canberran as well?
Oh, yeah.
Cam?
So I'm glad to believe.
Were you born here as well?
No, born in Townsville.
Okay. And you're living here in Canberra now, playing music, wearing beanies, and...
Only one of them.
Yeah. And plastic shoes.
No, plastic shoes. No, they're cannabis, actually, these ones.
Cannabis shoes.
Yeah.
Straight.
Even better.
Roll them up. they look sort of plasticky.
They're
like a...
Yeah, if you feel them, they're quite rough.
Yeah, that's like really going to work in the podcast format.
Yeah, well, we'll take a photo.
Well, they are a bit harshish, is kind of where I was leaning.
Harshish.
Oh, gee, that joke. You trampled all over that one.
Now, you guys are playing as a duo, sometimes as solo. Cam, I sometimes see you solo. Yep. Do you ever play solo, right?
Yeah, occasionally.
Occasionally. And where are we playing? We're playing at the Bootlegs.
Yep, yep.
Anywhere else?
We played the front yet?
Yeah.
No national tours as yet.
No.
Melbourne,
we are planning to go down to Melbourne in July.
That's right, and you've got contacts down in Melbourne, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because you used to live there.
That's right.
And so how about getting us a gig? That'd be good. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
How about you probably put a trailer on the back of the car. You can... squeeze on in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
With the dog.
The whole band.
You can get a big trailer.
They're quite a big, hairy band. So.
Yeah. Well, with the cage on the side. You know, trailers with the cage. Yeah. Even hairy, that'd work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cages.
Okay.
You can borrow my dog if you want.
Thanks. Keep me warm.
Well, thanks. a dog is mentioned as a prerequisite to use in the trailer. So.
Well, you definitely need one to keep you warm.
True.
Yeah.
It's getting chilly.
Okay, I think we should go to a song. We've recorded six songs here. This one, do we want to do them just in the order we recorded them?
Well, generally speaking, we don't really
care
for much for order. We usually try and ask each other what... Yeah, it just kind
of time on stage.
Slips out the way it slips out.
So. Well, let's just let it slip out then.
Okay.
I think we'll go with Monkey.
Madden and Fury. your tired little monkey, we'll steal your dance to his show. Oh, to his. But the days, the confusion, as your ticker tape runs out, no longer as efficient. Your religion's seeds of doubt, second in line, he quickly steps up to your plate. It's hard to be productive when everybody calls you late. One day they all called you late. Accelerate and rhythm, that's a modern and fuel. You're the organ grinder's monkey, we'll have to dance to his tune. Accelerate and rhythm, that's a modern and fuel. You're such a tired little monkey, but still you dance to his tune. Whoa, kind of pace, scrambling ever faster, will not win the human race. The minutes of your life is spent to listen to this song. I don't ask a revolution, just please accept that something's wrong. Except that something's wrong. Find your own damn rhythm, find a comfortable beat. You are your own enlightened monkey. Now get out there and reach. Just find your own damn rhythm, find a comfortable beat. You're such a wild little monkey, now get out there and reach. Get out there and reach. Yeah,
something like that.
Okay, so the monkey's John Howard and the organ grinder's George W. Bush, right?
You could, I'm happy for you to view it that way, but like, I don't like, take interpretations as you will, but like, I wrote it, it was more about the 9-to-5 grind. It was like something I wrote a couple of years back when I first started realizing that, fuck, I don't want to work because hours you're expected to work and whatnot. Like,
and then you, so you started to play music. Yes?
Yeah. It's working a lot better for me.
Yeah.
You're making enough money playing music?
No. I'm looking for gainful employment at present.
Are you studying?
I was studying. Yeah. I was doing medical
stuff. That's right. Yeah. Doing what?
Medical stuff.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Medical science.
He's got the best doctor's handwriting I've ever seen.
Mm.
So it truly is his dharma, but it's up to him to...
Doctor, musician, it's all a scroll, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've completed your medical studies?
I've taken a break from it.
Indefinite.
That was too much hard work, too.
Yeah, indefinite, but don't you know. We'll see how well music goes. It wasn't too much hard work. Okay. I just wasn't organised enough and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Actually, studying pissed me off. The studying I enjoy, but the doing assignments pissed me off a lot. So
right.
I'm going to take a break and count to 10 very slowly and have another go.
Okay.
That's my plan.
And we have noticed that you've taken your music a lot more seriously of late.
Yep, turning up to gigs and all kinds of
practice.
I reckon that'll be too much like hard work any minute now.
Yeah.
And there is this, I saw you guys a couple of years back, I guess, first time. You had a mohawk. Right, I believe.
Yeah,
a little goatee.
Yeah.
And you were just exactly the same. Sort of wild man look in a great coat. You used to wear that on stage. But,
yeah.
And, but there seems, and I suppose, you know, there was humour. But it seems like you're getting more and more into humour and characterisation and you know, the accents, the Eastern European sort of flavour. Is this true? Is that the direction you're going in, or is that just...
That's probably my influence to a degree. It's kind of the way I do things.
Yeah. We sort of picked it up.
Will you blame me?
I'll blame you, happily. But,
okay, cool.
But yeah, we sort of picked it up for this show, like as a theatre production on Damned If You Do... Damned If You Do.
Yeah.
Like, which we sort of have managed to win, like, or like, you know, qualify for like permanent positions in, just as these regular characters and whatnot. And we started the cabaret thingy there, entertaining people for the half time.
It's a yearly thing at the C Block Youth Theatre.
Yeah.
Thing that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard about it.
We sort of had, you know, a week to put something together by the time we actually got around to it, and yeah, it was good fun. Just mucked around with character comedy.
Alright, and well, maybe is it too soon to go to another song? But there is a song here that...
Yeah, I thought there was a something of a Michelangelo and the Black Sea Gentleman flavour to it, although I realised that you could just be hitting the same gypsy riffs that he's shamelessly
stealing. He and many other people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really intended on that song, but yeah, he's definitely had an influence on me.
He's had an influence on everyone, I think, who's seen him and gone, fuck me dead. Like, that guy's just from Canberra. He used to be a punk rocker, and now he's doing this thing. He's
yeah, but
larger than life.
Even P-Harness had charisma, you know, in those latex...
Yeah, I know, what I'm talking about is this guy, if you guys want to make a living from music, this guy is making a good living from music. If he goes on tour or whatever like that and he's got his musicians... They get paid $1,000 a week each.
Sweet.
While they're on tour, 5 or 6 weeks. So he's generating.
Yeah, we could.
What is that? 5-6 guys in the band. Yeah, so each week that band can generate $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. However, who knows how much
after
he gets.
Paid the other bills. Yeah.
Mm. So he's a very clever guy, and a very talented performer.
Yeah. So he's come a long way from sweaty bums on drum sets because he's not wearing underwear and
trousers. He's a lovely guy too, anyway. But
he blew off our last interview with him.
Oh, he was tired.
Just didn't want to do it.
Well, that's funny actually, because we'd arranged an interview after his Merry Muse gig.
Yeah.
And I was like fucking pissed off because he hadn't bloody. He's just said, no, look, I can't do it, I'm too tired. And I was like, no, you fucking cunt. And I went and got my camera and had a look at it, and it had no battery charge anyway. Oh. I couldn't have done it. So, it all turned out good in the end.
That was serendipitous in its way.
Yes. Yeah. So let's do this this cabaret thing. Yeah. Condemned to Cabaret. I thought that was quite funny. Quite good.
Yeah.
Cheers. Like it.
Love and wine. Conditions necessitate a sentence to sing. Condemned to cabaret, our souls and our sins eternally on display, forever together. Condemned to cabaret. Ha ha! Fol de rol de rol. Ha ha! Sing the bloody song.
All right.
It's your verse.
My verse.
From Carthage to Tunis, a cargo ship's captaincy, I cared for my crew while avoiding the buggery. A well-pressed uniform once held some sway, but now I'm a beggar, condemned to cabaret. Constantinople, I used to roam, but Istanbul don't feel like my home. I once sought the devil and took him aside, foolishly challenged him through my gypsy pride. The result, we both feel until this day, we are together,
condemned to cabaret.
And why conditions necessitate sentence to sing, condemned to cabaret, our souls and our sins eternally on display, forever together,
condemned to cabaret.
Dash it all,
for fleeting applause. Doomed to endure in this damnable company. Together, forever, the devil's own claws. This little misery company clearly adores. Forever, together, the devil's own claws. And now to hold the tradition, we should perhaps end with a pause.
I've never liked this bit. Why the fuck would we pause?
Look, it was an idea suggested by a dear friend of mine, and...
You don't have any fucking friends. I'm the only person you know.
Okay, it's my idea, but I still stand by it.
So why are we pausing or are we chatting? What the fuck is going on?
I was pausing.
Oh, all right.
Let's just finish it. Together.
Forever.
The devil's all
okay, so that was Condemned to Cabaret, and, you know, I heard a little rumour, Cam, that you were thinking of putting on a musical. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed it is.
What's that about? Where are you thinking of doing this?
Well, it's in terms of where, it's a BKU thing, so probably C Block Theatre, I imagine.
Now,
All Hazard.
BKU is something not immediately known to me.
The Bacchanalia Crudulent? Bacchanalia Crudulent United
right.
Theatre Corps.
So this is Nerds.
You know, they're pretty nerdy. But anyway, you know.
Who is that? Is that Hadley involved?
A whole bunch of people. That, yeah, like, you know, Hadley and Joel and Chrisom and Mick and Jack and...
Max Barker?
Max Barker, yeah.
Just all those kids.
Kids?
Yeah. Kids.
Because they're younger than you guys.
I just call everyone kids, really.
Right?
Yeah.
Those crazy kids.
It's better than cats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cats is kind of a Ralph Morris thing. He'd say that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we're musical. We're doing full-on musical.
Well, we've got a plot
West Side Story sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a plot.
A libretto.
A libretto.
The libretto.
I'm not a fan of piercings generally.
I don't even get that. That's a piercing, is it? What? Where do you do?
I can laugh at you in that
case. Well, what's a libretto in another sense?
It's the like the story for the opera. Someone writes the little story. It's just the narrative.
Well, the libretto is also the words in the that they're singing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's why you need a librettist.
I'm with you in the piercing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, this culture's a bit too much.
We'll so one. What's the story? What is it?
Well, it's the same character. The characters we come up with, sort of this pompous British captain and a sort of fairly insalubrious gypsy type.
Now, I just wanted to ask you: do you know that Tunis and Carthage are like
at the same place?
Well, no, they're across Tunis Bay from each other.
I thought Tunisia, like Tunis, what they called like the place that Carthage was.
It's across the ruins of Carthage across the bay. But yes, okay, so they're very close. I figured you probably.
Yeah, that was it. We got Istanbul and Constantinople.
Yeah, that was what was giving it away.
We got the whole thing.
Okay.
We thought we were more educated than we now know we are because you just ruined it for us.
Okay, but only
so you can sail from Tunis to Carthage, but it's a very short sail.
Yeah, that's right. Probably make money off that.
It's just a swim. A swim.
Yeah, well, they're sort of very surrealist, stupid, silly characters as far as it goes. There was one year which Rye couldn't do the thingy, and so I got another mate along, Andrew Walker. May have interviewed him at some stage in the past.
The rugby union.
No, one foot in the gravy. So he jumped in and he's got another character and whatnot. So we're just sort of putting them all on stage with a sort of very crazy kind of plot going on.
For that particular show, I was a carrot.
Yeah.
And so you're just one step away from those crotchless Lycra jumpsuits. And,
We're looking at prices for them.
Yeah, what's with the P-Harness shtick was?
They were also, any reason to show penises and buttocks. And,
Is there going to be nudity?
We'll aim for it. It may be Rafe, but...
Could be the hat rack.
Yeah, we've got a very fetching hat rack. It's like an integral part of the cast.
And
Stanley.
How does the hat rack feel about performing nude?
We'll convince him. He's pretty
amenable.
Yeah, he's pretty tight-lipped about most things. But
we do often take our hats and jackets off him anyway, so we're just kind of used to it.
And what is the purpose of such a venture?
What is the purpose?
To have fun.
Fun.
To entertain people. To make money.
To take a lot of drugs while you're rehearsing.
All of these.
Are you gonna...
the money thing's more of a hope than an actual aim.
Right. Is there sort of any edification, like you could do some sort of geography lessons, like, you know, that Carthage is just a short distance across the bay from Tunis and stuff, like, you know.
We'll try and make it educational, as far as it goes. But,
political statements?
Lots of political statements. We assemble an elite crew to try and tackle this sort of adventure we're about to go on and whatnot. And one of the members of this crew is the embodiment of democracy. And, you know, we'll have some...
Boy, I can see that being hilarious.
Yeah, we'll have some quite pithy comments here and there. Should be nice.
A shapely young woman, perhaps?
Well, it's Rafe, and he'll be a shapely young woman at points, but...
That's Rafe Morris from Dahu.
Yeah.
He's in it as well.
Mm.
Jeez.
So it's basically Canberra's elite boho set you're trying to assemble for...
Trying not to think of ourselves as elite or bohemian, but yeah.
It's just, at least
all the people I reckon are rad.
Right.
Yeah.
Just all our buddies, more or less.
So there's a whole Rat Pack thing going on.
Easier to hold anything.
Yeah. Drinking goon down in Glebe Park.
Yeah, at least we used to. Yeah.
There does seem to be a lot of really good things happening in the local, you know, music, creative sort of staff. A lot of young people who are very talented, some good organisers, do you notice that has there been an upswing in such things? Is that your impression? Is it just my impression?
I'd say, like, I don't know, the people that have been there for a fair while are starting to actually get a lot more proactive about it and trying to make things happen.
Mm.
So maybe that is expressing itself as an upswing.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we got Tom Woodward's huge Justice Ball thing. That's very ambitious.
Mm.
At the Albert Hall.
Yes, at the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see if he pulls that one off.
Well, I'm enticed by all the, you know, possible suggested lasciviousness and so on.
There's lasciviousness? Sweet.
you mean you just like the pictures of women in bondage gear on the website for the event?
Oh, yeah, and some of the texts that suggested there'd be...
Well, there's that crazy Rebecca Gale's burlesque outfit's going to be performing.
Were they the ones who got
thrown out of the environmentalist conference, yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, that actually sounds really boring and tame. I mean, I can't believe anyone complained about it.
They might amp it up for, you know, an event specifically given over
to them. So they won't have their cozzies undone to the balloons.
I did have to talk to Rebecca Gale. I can give you her email.
I don't think that there's actually anything that good to see under there anyway. Like, they're all just sort of... You know, middle-aged women.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole little swinger thing vibe I'm getting off them as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's just a vibe. No, that's just a vibe. I could be totally wrong.
We might have to investigate that.
Yeah.
How about we throw to another song? Just choose one randomly. I want to hear the ukulele.
Okay.
Because you brought your ukulele along.
I do,
I'm a big fan of the ukulele.
And how do you tune your ukulele?
How do you... Well, there's...
With a salmon.
There's little pegs at the end.
It's not a tuna, yeah, there's little pegs.
No, I mean, what tuning scheme? Because I gather that tuning schemes are very important.
My dog has fleas.
That's more or less it, yeah.
Right.
You got it.
But you tune it in D, not C.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
Because I could just tell.
With your perfect pitch.
And the fact that I told you.
Give away my secret.
Were you telling or was I telling?
Now why don't we play this song, which is will explain my reference to your footwear.
Yes.
Vegan's Lament.
Let's talk about that when we come
back. When we come back.
Sandwich, but hold the cheese and mind the butter, if you please. Oh, dry bread's just fine for me. I don't eat no dairy, you see, 'cause I've said it before, so I'll say it now. You're only supposed to drink milk if you're a baby cow. They say eggs are so versatile, but eating them's never been my style. They say scramble souffle, poach, or even just fry it, but Not gonna find none of those in my diet, cause I've said it before, so I'll say it again. Purpose of eggs is making baby ham. I really got some beef, causing cows all that pain and grief. So when you're next on up for that Harley ride, spare a thought for those cows that died. You see, cowhide ain't supposed to be leather. It's designed for holding cows together. Supposed to be leather, it's designed for holding cows together, and I've said it before, so I'll say it again. Purpose of eggs is making baby hens, and I've said it before, so I'll say it now. You're only supposed to drink milk if you're a baby cow. Yes, I've said it before, so I'll say it right now. You're only supposed to drink milk if you're a baby cow.
So that was Vegan's Lament. And we noticed, as was referred to earlier, you are actually not wearing any leather, which is reasonably uncommon. Says me in my leather jacket and leather shoes and leather belt.
But I can tell you're not a vegan because you don't smell like a vegan.
I don't smell like a vegan.
I was going to say he has a ruddy complexion.
Well, maybe that too.
As well. Not washed out.
Well, I am strict vegetarian. I'm sort of... I don't eat eggs. I don't take dairy. So I'm kind of one step away.
What's the difference? If you don't eat eggs and dairy...
I don't eat eggs, but I do...
Yeah, that's
dairy.
What I can smell.
Because have to kill the animal.
You can smell the dairy.
Well,
you can ask nicely. You know.
There's something cheesy about me.
I don't know if this is true, but I mean, Asian people, just broadly Southeast Asia, whatever, they're starting to drink a lot of milk now, but it wasn't a part of their diet like 20, 30 years ago.
It's not part of their traditional diet. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons they can't stand Westerners, because we all stink.
Yeah.
Like the reek of sour milk coming out of our pores.
Yeah. That was what I heard anyway.
Certainly the Chinese have got frantic drink milk campaigns going on right now because the Japanese have got bigger than them, and the Chinese word for Japanese is roughly analogous to dwarf, because the Japanese were always these impoverished islanders off the coast who couldn't get enough protein into their children. So the Chinese can't, it just isn't part of their psyche to
be smaller than the Japanese.
Be smaller than Japanese, so they're just pouring the milk down their kids' throats for this generation, trying to get them to grow up big and strong.
But as we now know, you know, milk is for baby cows.
Yeah, that's right.
And
well, you better
leather is
talk
the
to kicking. The Chinese, because they're not listening.
No, neither is most of the world. and including myself, because I do drink dairy.
Mm-hmm.
But Cam, until very recently, didn't know that, because I have a preference for soy milk anyhow.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think it was nicely timed at a gig that we played at the Fringe Festival. I think we played that song, and on stage I said to people, you know, I'm not actually vegan. That was just kind of a character piece. Cam turns to me and said, "You're not vegan?" And I'm sure do you remember the rest of the story? No, he doesn't, so I'll keep going. And he says to me, I said, "No, I'm not vegan." And he said, "So you drink soy milk because you like it?"
I used to like soy milk.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I don't know, not so much anymore. No? Just had a fad with it for a while.
It's a passing thing.
But aren't there some health concerns now about soy milk?
Estrogens, let's all womanise ourselves.
No, it was cancer. They were finding that if you already had cancer, it was there was a slightly increased chance of the cancer growing.
I think it was breast cancer in specific because of the estrogen.
Yeah.
Phytoestrogens. Plant estrogens.
I thought it was funded
by the dairy milk industry.
It does make who one knows? London, doesn't it?
It was one of those ones where it was pretty preliminary research, and there's going to be have to be another 20 years of longitudinal studies before anyone's got a clear fix.
Yeah, it was something that was very talked up and...
Well, it was quite a shock. But it's...
Yeah, I know, you've been drinking this stuff for your health all the time. But even the
research itself sort of stated that was a very, very, very minor chance.
Yeah.
But they like to talk up the fact that...
Yeah, the media, media sit in the newsroom saying, what the hell are we going to put a story out about? Here we go.
Those fucking hippies, let's show them once and for all.
What? Yeah. I don't really associate soy milk with a hippie thing myself. No? Yeah.
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 You know, incense, yes. hemp shoes, yes.
Yeah, you'll find all of the above in my place. So.
Well, the soy milk is in the hippie section of the supermarket.
It is.
There's a hippie section. There's no fucking hippie section in Walmart.
And there is. It's all bloody, hippie section. You know, bars made out of seeds and...
Food section.
No, but
it's the health and nuts.
It's not just for you, all right?
they got the health food section, and then right next to it, they should have the cancer food section. Soy food.
Plus the rest of the fucking supermarket, for God's sake, it's implied.
Yeah, cancer and heart attack.
Yeah. And strokes. Don't forget your strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's good for that?
Salty food.
Okay,
good. I was looking for a rowing joke, but I missed it.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks.
Or absolutely, yeah. Yeah, something along those lines.
About this smelling thing, though, Cam, you were saying before, off air, all your girlfriends of the last several years or whatever have been vegetarians.
Yeah.
I think it's just playing that song. They're all swooning, thinking, oh, he's one of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to bag me a miso tonight. And,
you're a red-blooded meat eater, right?
Yeah, I thought it must be some kind of karma thing. You know, like, I love steak so much that I just couldn't have it that simple. You know, there'd be a girl that appreciates, like, I cook steak really well. I spent years perfecting it. Barbecues and I were like this, but like, yeah, no, apparently none of my girlfriends ever want
to... You need to start picking up the young nibble girls if you're not making a mistake.
And they have good money, like.
Yeah.
we're working on a theory here that, you know, it's smell-based.
Yeah, it's a nice theory, I like it.
You're attracted to the girls because they don't smell of meat, and they're attracted to you because...
You're a killer.
You're providing the red blood in their diet.
You've got the smell of danger about you.
Yeah, something like that.
No good for child rearing, but you know, a bit of excitement beforehand.
Yeah. Any lambs that stray near the kids, it'll take them down, but good. Like.
That's right.
Have you guys reared any children?
Not personally.
No.
I'm employed to help people do it. But yeah, haven't
done it. You work at an IVF clinic or?
No, more just like the childcare kind of thingy. Like.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's, I guess, okay, helping people with the children they've got. Yeah.
Helping it's people rearing. After they've done it. Not helping them do it.
That would be really full cover child.
People are just working too much these days to look after their own children.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we're going to emancipate the women, who fortunately we have none of them treating in this podcast tonight, then we're going to have to accept that someone else is going to have to bring up the children.
I'm happy to be a house husband. That's one of my goals in life.
It's many a lazy man's goal in life.
Many a lazy and foolish man.
The problem is that women don't, you know, want... Rich women want a more powerful man than themselves. It's a constant lament. You see it in countless interviews where you've got a powerful woman and she's saying, you know, she doesn't want a trophy husband. What she wants is to bag the Secretary General of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's women complain about how there's no good men around when they're powerful women, but they're not willing to settle for a hippie who just wants to sit around the house all day.
I can fight.
I actually had a thing like this because when I was 19, I had exactly the same dream. And I was almost going to marry this little smack addict prostitute.
Right.
Who was going to, like, she wanted to have a baby too, although how she could be a prostitute, and it wasn't worked out very well.
It's a kink.
But anyway, another time, a similar era, I was in a bar and I was talking to this woman and I was explaining all this to her, and nothing happened that night, but she later put an ad in the Woroni classified, the Warani,
the ANU student newspaper classifieds,
saying,
yeah.
Nigel. By the way, she identified me somehow. She knew my name, she described me and whatever. Come back to me. I'm the career woman you've been looking for.
Right.
I was like all fired up. So I rang her up and it was like, oh, well, it wasn't her, it was her friend.
Oh, God.
Who hadn't heard the conversation. And I was like, so you want to have a baby? She's like, no. I just wanted to shag. I was like, oh, well. And we arranged to meet in some cafe in Sydney and she never turned up.
She probably bottled it.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that's that story. Let's play another song.
Play another song. We could talk about your sordid past all night, couldn't we?
No. Terracotta. What is this song about?
A young girl I saw with like a typical sort of like terracotta line around the neck.
Oh, is that what it is? The total face makeup, of
yeah,
course.
It was sort of me intending to write a really nasty, that's ridiculous song, but then sort of eventually pulling back into just, no, like, you know. Sort of,
you were hoping to have sex with her at some point.
No. She was like 14, like, you know, admittedly that's still natural. I wasn't planning on it. Like, yeah. It was meant to be it started off kind of as a nasty, like, spike.
Mocking. So terracotta line is where the makeup is.
The makeup ends and like the real flesh tone starts.
Yeah, they're meant to fade that in, aren't they?
Yeah. I saw it here. I read that once in Cosmo as well. But yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But and it's sort of like,
so if they could just grow a decent stubble, it'll take care of itself.
Exactly. In certain lights, it's fine. But if you catch them in direct sunlight or something like that, it's very noticeable.
It looks like they've had a head grafted onto a neck.
Yeah, and it's quite hideous, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I personally don't like makeup on women, and it's like if you kiss a woman with a lot of lipstick on,
it's revolting. Yes,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, it tastes funny. What are they thinking? Let's make the lips not flavoursome. Like,
how could they walk around all day with
it? Oh, well, if they make it tasty, they'll have none left because then.
So they make it taste like shit. Like
yeah, that. It's like fingernail polish to stop you chewing your fingernails. But,
Yeah, poor ladies. So anyway, so
they did it themselves.
You'd started out wanting to whack this woman, and you ended up just feeling sorry for her,
just accepting that I couldn't criticise her, like at all. Mm. You know, we all do things for our reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to work on your killer instinct.
Yeah. I need to be nastier, I think.
I like it. I like it, and I think a non-judgmental observation is better than, you know, sort of taking a cheap shot.
Yeah.
At a
14-year-old who's
been who's just how can you avoid all of that? Let's go. 3, 4 and a
she wore altogether too much makeup. A terracotta featured somewhere predominant in her ancestry. But I wanted to say, hey honey, take these KFC refresher towelettes. This pamphlet about social identity theory. It's hard to conceive that you think that you're doing yourself a favor. The conventions you perceive out of form your normalcy are as alien to me as to be an entirely unpleasant flavor. Subjective, which I feel comes down to taste. But to show that tidy pack we are in this tiny city space, you can fill it around, supported with that treatment of your face. We apply lest you be remiss while you're carrying this makeup case. We apply lest you be remiss. What a shame, a shame, the loss of face. We apply lest you be remiss in this. We define it so we exist like this. All that compact identity. Compact identity. You've been obsessing and stressing on the lesson, but I'm guessing that you're just a kid. Still, man, that's weird. I hope my face don't ever come to look like that. I hope my face don't ever come to look like that.
That was Terracotta. And it had a certain Latin swing to the vocals there. Was that intentional or just happened that way?
No, I think it's just a function of cramming as many words as you possibly can into a short space of time.
Right, maybe she's short of words.
Yeah, I like long words. Okay. Like, you know, tend to get random rhymes and that.
Yeah.
What was that one identity theory something?
I wanted to say, hey, honey, take these KFC refresher towelettes and this pamphlet about social identity theory.
Social identity theory.
Yeah.
So to wipe the makeup off with the towelettes.
Right. Yeah, well, reading, you know, about like, what it is that makes you you and whatnot. Yeah.
I see. Actually, on the subject of too much makeup, I noticed something really interesting the other day. I walked past this goth, might have been about 15, 16-year-old boy, and he was wearing these big mirror shades, and as I walked by, I just happened to glance over and realise he was wearing his full eye makeup under the big mirror shades. And I was thinking, in the one hand, I guess it's less confronting for people. On the other hand, why go to all that trouble of putting all the eye makeup on?
Just go to hide when you can take off the mirror shades and look really cool. Because you've got eye makeup on as well as the mirror shades.
Yeah, because if you're going to wink at someone, you've got to take your shades off, so...
Yeah, and then they'll be going, my God, look at all that mascara that boy's wearing.
So they'll be looking straight into his eyes as he... So.
It was in the daytime?
Yes, daytime, yes.
Well, he might...
Might have been going out later. And
well, yeah.
Wasn't going to carry his makeup with him.
He might be photophobic.
He doesn't want to do the Corey Hart thing.
Photophobic? You mean afraid of the sunlight?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a good goth will carry a black umbrella around with them to carry their little patch of gloom.
To keep the sun off their
parasol.
Skin.
Yeah.
But when you're wearing a black trench coat in the light heat, like, you really want to avoid as much sun as possible.
It does seem one of the most awkward, hassle, high maintenance sort of fashion styles of all.
The boys put in a lot of work. The amount of work that goes into those girls' outfits just constantly amazes me. That I'm just, I'm endlessly impressed by them.
Yeah, well, it seems like you really have to be into fashion, makeup, so and so to be a goth, because you go,
which is odd for a non-conformist kind of cult, but well, it's not cult, subgroup, what are you
subculture,
mode.
Mode.
I mean, does it have any actual, like, it's not, I mean, you know, punk, for instance, there was originally some sort of, you know, political ethos.
The origins of there's no clear origin of punk ethos. All that's
rebellion. Just nothing else.
Yeah, but no idea what they were rebelling against or what they were rebelling for.
Well, in England, there was so much to rebel against. Take your pick.
In England there was, but I mean, like, the New York punk scene was at least as influential as the London one, and that was far less clearly defined.
Anyway, what the hell are goths about? I mean, are they? Is it just some sort of
they're about being miserable and drinking blood? I mean, what more do you need?
Is it a vampire thing?
It's not. It's a mortality. Speaking about it's death. It's all about death.
Yeah.
Morbidity.
Yeah. Awareness of one's mortality and the fruitlessness of it all. You know, it can still be a beautiful flower, but it's dying as we speak.
Oh, so it's romantic. It's Byron-esque.
What do you think they're wearing all the fucking ruffles and
having to either blot or drink your beer with a straw.
What?
the lipstick you have to either blot or
see. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But you get more drunk that way.
With a straw?
You drink beer with a straw.
That's what we were told as kids.
No, seriously.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Because all the bubbles go up your nose.
No, it just it increases the frothing of the beer. And then the froth beer, just like champagne, forces open the other end of your stomach. And so the alcohol drops into your intestine, where it gets absorbed much more rapidly.
Far out. And you could even, like, blow the bubbles into the beer like a milkshake. And
And then just drink nothing but froth and,
Awesome. I was always told that was uncouth.
Yes. And real beer-drinking men might get aggressive at that point.
Beer spiders, perhaps?
Oh, beer and ice cream is a quick way to vomit.
Yeah.
Talking about ejaculations...
tell me again how we were talking about ejaculation.
You said vomit. That's vomit. An ejaculation from the mouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Anyway, I do
an expelling.
Yeah, an expulsion. Yes. Expulsion. We're talking about expulsions.
You want to talk about ejaculation?
Ejaculation.
No, I did want to inform all of our listeners about some very important developments in the. World of female ejaculation, which some of them may not have even heard of, not even be aware of, but it is a fact that women in a very high state of arousal can ejaculate.
Some women.
But I'm not sure it's all women.
But, yes, possibly. Well, it's certainly...
Maybe I'm just not that good, but...
No, well...
I'll put it to the test.
I'll get on to that. But just a few facts. There are these little glands around the urethra.
Mm-hmm.
And this, some that's of this might be... That's the peeing bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... and when a woman gets aroused, they can swell up, and that forms on the front wall of the vagina the G-spot, like the swelling, and continued arousal of that area can get these glands to expel this fluid
rapidly.
I have seen
alarmingly rapidly.
I have seen a distance contest where they were getting it to go like 10
meters.
You saw
this on the internet, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in real life, but I'm working.
No one's ever seen that in real life.
I'm working on it. No, it was real.
It's real, and then there's things you see on the internet.
I have also experienced a female ejaculation, but it didn't go 10 meters. No. Mm.
Well, normally it's not facing
dribble all over my face. Yes. Yeah. Now, up until recently, it's been disputed whether this was even a phenomenon. And the science wasn't in on what was the fluid composed of.
Mm. Yes.
Some people thought it was urine.
Mm.
And it's still hotly contested by, you know, certain medical practitioners and stuff.
Mm.
But this woman, Dr. Beverly Whipple, came to Australia recently, went on Radio National, and gave us the results of her recent studies. She has been studying female sexuality and so on, and she has definitively proven that the liquid that comes out when you ejaculate is not urine.
Well, I did that because I smelled it and tasted it.
Yeah, and it's yummy. And
I wouldn't say it was yummy, but I mean, in my own solitary experience of this, I was thinking, is this woman pissing on me?
Mm.
And
yeah,
no, it's not. Yeah, so I mean, what? Obviously, it was sexual inadequates who ever questioned that it was.
Yeah. Well, I do remember like reading porn from like the 70s, 80s, and stuff, and it was like, she gushed her love juice all over me and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever wonder what that was talking about? I mean, obviously this is a phenomenon that's been known.
I did think once I started having my own sexual experiences that there was an awful lot less gushing going on than pornography had led me to expect.
Yeah. But back to this, I mean, why don't all women do it, or do all women do it? Can every woman do it? I think most women can probably do it. But the first time that they do it, because they're in total ignorance,
it's terribly traumatic and scary.
It's traumatic. They're
pissing themselves all over some bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bloke's like freaked out and going, you know, you're a freak or whatever. And
what are you pissing
on
me?
Shuts it down because they can control it. Because the urge to when you're about to have one of these ejaculations, it feels like you're pissing.
Mm.
And so most women just, you know, you just clamp down on your PC muscle or whatever, and it doesn't happen.
Although it'd save a lot on laundry and thus be quite good for the environment if they were just...
I know, it could be very messy if done, yeah, I mean, every
if
night.
If it became commonplace,
yeah.
Yes. Just think of the cost to the world.
Yeah. But I think it's good news anyway. Men, do not be afraid. It's not PP. It's some other fluid. It's good fluid. Taste it.
It's, having said that,
yeah,
sometimes it must be pee.
Maybe a little bit of pee squeezes in there.
I mean,
yeah, you get a bit of a cocktail.
Yeah.
But then again, drinking pee really isn't that much of a problem. There are plenty of people who drink their own pee all the time.
Mm.
Or
midstream,
every morning or whatever.
Midstream, apparently.
Midstream.
Right, on that helpful note.
I'm
glad we got back to talking about pee. It's been a good 50 podcasts since we've been talking about
pee. I have been remiss.
And female orgasms, for that matter.
To my audience, I'm very sorry.
Do you want to have a little reminisce about the old gypsy bar while we're hitting the old riffs of the sexual banality?
Well, we can talk about the difference between Canberra and Melbourne, the music scene, which is better. I think we settled that one.
Did Canberra win?
What are you thinking, boy?
Melbourne can't be that good if all these Canberra artists can keep going down there and getting gigs. They're crying out for our talent. They've got nothing. When was the last time you saw a Melbourne artist up here playing a gig? Never. That's how shit they are.
Absolutely.
Happens occasionally, actually.
Very rarely.
But I mean, why would they bother?
Yeah, that's...
They don't go off the Hume Highway. They're on their way to Sydney and other more exciting places.
Should we play Canberra? No.
You know what?
Do they think?
What we need is just a midweek series of house gigs. We just need to find someone's house to use for it. And all the artists going up to Sydney to play could stop midweek and play a house gig and everyone pass the hat around and feed them.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do that with a back out of Bacchanalia.
Yeah, but it needs to be midweek for that.
Midweek. Because that's when they're going through.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Good thinking.
Mm.
All right. Now, this next song is called A Short Message. It has the letters SMS in it.
It does.
It's you're singing in a slightly sort of Eastern European accent.
Yeah.
Yes?
I didn't get that.
No? Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. But it's about all the regrets that follow sending ill-advised messages while drunk, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, not so much drunk, because I don't drink, but yeah, just ill-advised messages in general.
Another non-drinker in the pod.
We should have known there's no beer bottles around his feet.
Nick Dilatovic.
No beer bottles around these hemp-clad things.
There's no animal products in beer, right?
Yeast. Yeast are little animals.
Oh, it's true.
They crawl around, but they feel pain.
Oh, come on, there's yeast in yogurt.
No, it's clarified with fish gelatin.
Beer is.
Not all beers.
The
domestic lagers are, yes.
Well, last I checked in...
And these pig trotters, I think... In large effect as well.
Yeah, all beer in Australia has to be clarified. So Coopers and so on that have the sediment, they actually clarify it and put sediment back in to make it seem.
The bottle stuff's bottle conditioned, at least they say on the bottle.
It's been some time.
Or you could do homebrew.
I could. Anyway, well, look, absolutely. I'm well behind the times. So
if you don't want to drink beer, that's fine with me.
Okay.
A short message.
SMS, oh yeah.
yes, oh, yes, oh, yeah. Solo. Semicolon,
semicolon,
hyphen,
hyphen,
close bracket.
So that was a short message, a short SMS message. I've never done sent a bad SMS message.
Really?
You've never
made a whoopsie, not even.
But you've been going out best since the technology arrived, pretty much, haven't you?
Yeah.
See, it's more the sort of thing you do when you're starting relationships.
Yeah.
Or hoping to start relationships, and then they've left the bar with someone else.
You fucking bitch.
Something like that, that you might...
Something regrettable.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my favourite... I've made a few boo-boos, and I always feel a bit silly having...
Without the aid of alcohol either. That's impressive.
Absolutely. having written a song about making boo-boos, I always feel a bit silly when I do make them now, because I've apparently warned the world about it. My favourite one today was I broke up with my girlfriend earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
and when I was sort of all kind of boo-hoo and this and that, I was learning. I just sort of came to the realization one day that all the songs I'd been learning at that stage, and all the movies I'd been watching, and all the books I'd been reading were all sort of about these whingy, sad sack men sort of having troubles with their emotions. And
a lot of Nick Hornby in there, was there?
Yeah, that kind of shit. And so I wrote out this really long sort of blah blah message about all that stuff, and mm-hmm. Do you think that means something at the end? And meaning to send it to one of my friends who I'd been... Yeah, you can see where this is going, can't you? Yeah.
And you hit the recently used list and just missed by one, huh?
Yeah, whoops, a daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That went down well.
Yeah. Mm. And what did she make of it?
She didn't think it was out of the ordinary. She thought I was just being whiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was even nicer. She's like, no, I just thought that was the kind of thing you'd send. Jeez.
So that was why that relationship was on the rocks.
Perhaps.
Yeah. And John, do you have any?
Just general, like you said, you fucking bitch, when really telling her I thought she was a fucking bitch was probably best kept a secret, that sort of thing. Yeah. My personal favourite was a friend of mine. We'd been out watching the Brumbies in Sydney and stumbled back to his place, and his girlfriend was in Canberra, and he sent her a message telling her that he thought a haircut was stupid, and quite why he felt the need to express his view on her haircut at that point in the night, it remains a mystery, but that certainly contributed to a rapid decline in their relationship. Yes, that was
pretty... better that he said the truth though, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, when it comes to women's haircuts, the truth doesn't come into
haircuts
it.
Haircuts can be changed.
Yeah.
They can be changed, and you might need to express less enthusiasm for the current haircut than you might for other haircuts, but to ridicule it is,
is
a bad move.
I cut and colour and shave. And
are you worried you'll lose your hair one day if you keep messing with it?
No, I'm not worried. Perhaps I should be, but no.
That's not what happens. It doesn't affect... I mean, the hair that is dyed and all that, it might be damaged, but cut it all off and new, fresh hair will grow.
No, it can accelerate the falling out.
Can it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you still have such a magnificent mane of hair, considering you wash it twice a year. And
never.
Never. And you cut it once a year.
That could be really bad news for me, because I've had periods in my life where I've legitimately forgotten what my natural hair colour was.
What is your natural hair? You're rather stunning blonde with some little black tips.
What colour is a chameleon?
A mousy brown kind of thing happening, I think.
Okay.
But these days when I grow it out, it's generally a bit darker than normal, because it doesn't get sun bleached, because I hit it with peroxide before that can happen.
Yeah.
So
you know, mousy browns have more fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's true.
They really don't.
It's not blondes.
Yeah, who knows?
I think the blondes are pretty happy with the amount of fun they're having. But,
Oh, there's my phone. We might go to a song. See the dog.
Imagine that. Likes eating chumpy. That's cause it is lumpy. Goes nicely in this tumbly, especially when it's crumbly. Piss in a bin. It's not a sin to say rin tin 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 whilst you're doing such a thing. Just watch out for paparazzi, or else your ass, it will be all over the papers. Not talking about Kleenex and no expose. Poop scoop, torment the people cause pays well. Expose, poop scoop, torment the people cause pays well. Expose, poop scoop, torment the people cause pays well. Expose, poop scoop. And ham. I prefer spam with my punk rock lamb. It's even nicer than clam. Mushed and it's processed, just like Reader's Digest. Easy to swallow. I hope that you follow. Oh, expose, poop scoop, torment the people cause it pays well. Expose, poop scoop, torment the people cause it pays well. Expose, poop scoop, torment the people cause it pays well. Expose. See the dog. See the dog. See the dog. Looks like a mug, but it's not, 'cause it's not a cat. Imagine that.
That was See the Dog. And
what dog are you seeing?
What dog am I seeing? I'm not seeing the dog no more.
No?
No.
Is the dog a woman?
No, no, no. I am...
Because this is the misogynist podcast.
It's the male end.
Yeah.
I love women.
Yeah, well, I love women too. Record.
Absolutely.
I love just people.
Why couldn't you have organised more women, Nigel?
I mean, I'm sorry?
Jim. Mr. Jim Boots.
Yeah, I seem to... The Jim seems to have fallen away.
You haven't been enforcing it very well.
You're otherwise Jim.
Yeah, normally it's supposed to be Jim. Anyway, look, that song reminded me a little bit of the sort of that sort of I could that was like Down the Phoenix and you thrashing away on your guitar and the bongos and you stood up there the first time I saw you guys. I was like, hey. That was the time I invited you to the podcast.
Yeah,
the one you stood us up for.
Yeah. I blame Cam.
Yeah, right. Sorry. It was all Cam's fault. You were very polite. You rang up. Anyway,
you did, however, call me Ryan all through the review, but that's okay. I've got enough time.
Sorry,
Oops about that. Daisy,
you need to enunciate more clearly.
No,
I always blame the band. I find it works much better.
All right. We do, nevertheless, want to thank you guys very much for coming in, playing your music.
No problem.
Putting your mark on the podcast.
Entertaining the listeners.
Entertaining our listeners with your anecdotes, your songs, your humour, your accents, your hat.
The hat's working very hard.
Well, it's a beanie, really.
It is. Beanie. It is a beanie.
That's beanie's a hat, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
it
is a hat.
A hairy hat.
A hairy, fairy, soft hat.
You get a particular type of hat hair from beanie, too.
Yeah, but it's a generally unattractive hat hair you get from your beanie.
I believe so. Well, let's have a look, Cam.
Yeah, come on, Cam.
On a scale from 1 to 1 attractive?
I think the words generally unattractive covered it quite well.
Generally?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
nothing wrong with you,
Cam. You seem like a lovely man. Yeah. It's just what the beanie's done to your hair.
Yeah, that's it. I have been sitting here, like, in fear of taking the thing off, I have to admit. Like,
what do you do when you take a girl home? You've been wearing
Turn the lights off!
Turn the lights off? What?
Before you take the beanie off, you turn the lights off.
Take the opportunity to jump in the shower.
And she's...
Like, potentially with her. Like.
Yeah. Okay.
Need to have a quick shower. Why am I being here? So,
oh, look, I advocate a shower before sex anyway.
It's probably a
it does, thing to you do. You can kind of kill the mood, though.
It oughtn't.
No.
Well, hang on, okay. Are you talking about jumping in the shower together?
Yeah.
Depends how you're working your seduction, though, doesn't it? She needs to be pretty sold on the whole sex with you concept.
Yeah,
it's not like before jumping in the shower.
She comes around for dinner, hang on, do you want to jump in the shower?
Yeah, that doesn't work so well. Whereas, do you want to sit on the couch and you end up having a quiet snog?
Yeah, right, absolutely.
And then a skirt's disappearing over the lampshade. You know, I mean, it.
Yeah, sure.
You can gradualise it that way, but let's jump in the shower. That's a pretty clear statement of intent.
You could start with a sauna. Saunas lead to showers very quickly.
Saunas do lead to showers, yeah, if you had a sauna.
Yeah, well, there's that. And the gym, they might not get into the...
Yeah, gyms take a very dim view of
rocking up to the sauna. Like,
yeah. Now, unfortunately for our dear listeners, they're not going to be able to hear the rest of this conversation, but we are going to continue with this. We have to go, though, so...
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening,
Ryan. Thank you.
Let's say goodbye.
Thank you to Ryan Cam.
Goodbye!
You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities podcast number 71, recorded on Tuesday, the 3rd of April 2007.